Welcome to Power Play, coming to you live today from two locations. We're here at CTV Ottawa in the Byward Market and in the foyer of the House of Commons. The reason is that the building that houses our National Bureau overlooking Parliament Hill was evacuated today due to a major natural gas leak that was caused by surface work for the light rail construction tunnel. A four-block radius had been evacuated near Parliament Hill, but we got the all clear a few minutes ago, so we should be back to normal tomorrow. In political news today, however, the Senate Ethics Committee moved to do the unprecedented, expel a sitting member who refused to resign. We will have Senate and political reaction to the recommended ouster of Senator Don Meredith for allegations of sexual misconduct. Also ahead, Premier Brad Wall has unleashed the ultimate political weapon against the Constitution. He's invoked the notwithstanding clause against a court judgment on religious education, and the Saskatchewan Premier will join us in a few minutes. And two provincial elections are underway. One's nearing the finish line, the other is entering the starting blocks. We'll check in with the BC and Nova Scotia campaigns. And the House of Commons is grinding towards partisan paralysis with procedural foot-dragging and name-calling. This with 8 weeks to go before its summer recess, we'll ask our MPs why the mood is so toxic. But first, it took just 13 pages for the Senate's Ethics Committee to conclude that disgraced Senator Don Meredith had brought disrepute to the Senate that could not be remedied with a mere suspension. They said he should be kicked out and replaced. Senate members declined an interview on Power Play, but they had this to say to reporters after their findings were released this afternoon.
We wrote a report, we made a finding, and the finding is the expulsion. We've now given it to the Senate. You've heard my speech, or perhaps you haven't, but it's on the record of why we did what we did and emphasized the integrity of this institution and its importance, which led us to the expulsion.
Okay, let's bring in CTV's Kevin Gallagher to fill in the blanks. Kevin, you're in the foyer there. Good to see you. This has never happened before, right? I mean, so why did the committee decide that it needed to inflict the ultimate capital punishment on Senator Smith?
Well, and Don, I think you got to listen a little bit closely to Raynell Anderchuk's clip there. Is that maintaining the integrity of the Senate, and of course, Meredith.
About that.
Am I saying this, Don Meredith, correctly?
Yes.
Have I really? I'm sorry about that. Don Meredith. We'll get back into focus here right now. So it's really, they looked at suspension, they looked at expulsion, and the reason they chose expulsion is because they didn't feel that Senator Don Meredith, hopefully I got it right that time, wasn't really contrite about his apology towards his lack of, the downfall of his behavior and his basic ethics towards the Senate. So his apology that he gave back in March towards his moral failings for the actions that were taken and outlined within the report, he didn't necessarily have that same kind of contrition towards what he made the Senate look like through this whole scandal. And that was really a big part of why they decided that this couldn't just be suspension, that suspension could also be lifted if Parliament was prorogued, but that they had to keep take this unprecedented move and move towards expulsion. Now, the next steps aren't necessarily simple. There's a five-day window here where the Senate sits, where Don Meredith has the opportunity to state his case, so to speak, in front of the Senate. And then there is sort of a 15-day sitting window where they have to either pass this these recommendations to the committee, or they do have the opportunity after Meredith has been given the opportunity to speak, or these 5 days go past, that they could vote to go through with these recommendations.
I mean, Kevin, help me with the history here. I kept hearing that a senator couldn't be kicked out. Where did they have to go back in time to, New Westminster or something to find precedent for this? Because there just isn't any in Canadian political history, is there?
Certainly, there's no situation where this has happened in Canadian political history within the Senate. They've had to go back to the Constitution Act of 1867. They've had to also look at the House of Lords in the UK Parliament. They've consulted different legal minds. They've consulted the law clerk from the Senate. And they have determined that there is the ability for the Senate to expel one of its own members. That's within the Constitution Act of 1867, but also has other precedent within the UK House of Lords. So certainly this is something, though, that I should bring up, that in a statement this afternoon, Don Meredith's lawyer has said that it's now up to the Senate to determine whether it has the power, so that is the other senators, to vote on this. But certainly this ethics committee is made up of some actually really great legal minds themselves, and they also weighed in as to whether this is possible. So certainly that is the direction that this committee recommendations take the Senate now. The Senate is now confronted with, okay, we've been told we do have the power. We've been told that these actions that were taken by Senator Meredith warrant expulsion. Do we agree as a body that we should move forward?
Very quickly, Kevin, if he gets kicked out, does he get a pension, or is he sort of left dangling?
You know what? That's a great question, and I wish I had an answer for you. I really wish I had an answer for you. I don't know exactly, but I think that is contentious, and perhaps you'd be able to get that from one of the other senators. It's something that I'll have to look into, I think, Don.
All right. Good point, Kevin. All right. Thanks very much. We appreciate you joining us.
Thank you.
All right, let's get the Senate insider view from the leader of the conservative side of the Senate. Senator Larry Smith joins us from the foyer as well. Senator Smith, do you believe your fellow conservatives will vote for an expulsion?
Well, first of all, Don, let me thank you for trying to implicate me in this whole process. and thank God I was sitting beside Kevin, because when you said Senator Smith, my heart dropped. I said, I felt like a little child again, and God, I did something wrong. First of all, let me say that Raynell Andrechuk, Senator Andrechuk, and the Ethics Committee did a fantastic job of analyzing the case from A to Z. Secondly, is that the penalty or the decision of expulsion is the only decision that could have been taken. I'm not going to speak on behalf of any of the senators in our caucus or the independents or the independent liberal senators, but I would think that most of the senators would support this judgment with a unanimous yes. Because you asked a question earlier, you say, well, how did they come about getting to this point? One of the things to understand when you look at the Constitution, when you look at the construction of the Senate, it's a great honor to be in the Senate. There's very high expectations, and some people have not met those expectations in recent history. But when you look at what's expected of you, when you look at the oath that you take and the rules that you have to follow, you have to have the highest integrity and honesty to be able to merit being in the Senate. And I think clearly, the problem here is that there was a major, major foul committed. And during the process, I would say that a senator did not really ever come clean early on in the process. And possibly that might have affected it. But I think at the end of the day is he discredited the whole Senate with his actions, and that is unacceptable.
Do you believe, Senator Smith, then, that this taints the Senate, or is this seen as sort of a one-off bad apple case, and you'll be able to restore the luster of the Senate reasonably quickly?
Well, I would have to tell you that, through history and time in my own life, I've been in situations where we have big organizations, smaller organizations, and unfortunately, there always seems to be a bad apple in the barrel. And there can be two or three bad apples. But in this particular case, when you look at time and over time, we've had outstanding people in the Senate who've made a tremendous contribution. Understand one thing, Don. When you become a senator, part of the reason you become a senator is because you want to help make Canada a better place. You want to help taxpayers, ordinary Canadians, do as well as they can within Canadian society. If you work with those rules and you work with integrity, then you will succeed in the Senate. I don't think that this is going to have a negative impact on the Senate, but I do think that it will show signal to Canadians that we're willing to take tough decisions and address issues that have to be addressed.
It's a new precedent, as you well know. I'm wondering if this sets a precedent that will make it easier to evict a senator guilty of misconduct in the future, should that arise.
Well, I think, Don, it's very important to define what the degree of the problem is. In this case, this is not only a very, very serious moral issue, but this is a serious issue of a person in a position of power taking advantage of a young person who does not have the same experience and the same standing. And as a result, the degree of severity of the case is completely different from some miscellaneous misdemeanor that somebody can create and get fined for.
All right. Now, Kevin Gallagher posed this question a minute ago. I asked him and he couldn't answer. He suggested I ask you, does the senator go into the sunset with a pension or any payment or any compensation, or is he cut off?
Well, I guess I can only tell you one thing, is that it takes 6 years to qualify for a pension in the Senate. My understanding is that Senator Meredith qualifies from a term perspective. What will happen to that pension will be part of, I guess, discussions that will be taking place in the next short period of time.
All right. Senator Smith, thanks for joining us today. It's a big day in the Senate, and you brought a clarity to the issue. Thank you for joining us. All right, after the break, we'll head off to our emergency hot room in the foyer where the MPs are gathering to talk about Meredith and this toxic mood that seems to be taking over the Commons. We'll talk to them next. Please stay with us.
I would never detract from the accomplishments of our men and women in the Canadian Armed Forces. Our government will always work hard to making sure that that they're truly served. I'm honored to serve our men and women in uniform. I'm going to continue to work hard for them every single day to making sure they have the right tools, the right capabilities, and right care so they can carry out their missions. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
All right, let's bring in the MPs to discuss this. Try to explain what's going on in the suddenly toxic House of Commons. Our MPs are in the foyer. As I said, our studio's been evacuated due to this gas rupture in downtown Ottawa. And there's Liberal MP. There's Liberal MP Marco Mendicino. He's hailing from Toronto. Conservative MP Karen Vecchio from southwestern Ontario. And heckler Nathan Cullen comes to us from the NDP from Northern British Columbia. Helpful. Okay, fair enough. All right.
Helpful.
I do want to talk about the Sajjan case. We brought that up. He's still under attack. Nathan Cullen, you're no stranger to attacking government MPs and ministers. Why are you keeping it up? The military wants it closed, and he's apologized repeatedly.
Well, the apologies are, of course, important, and then there's the actions that follow. I guess there's a concern that we have. I didn't know this term. I don't know if my colleagues knew it, but stolen valor. This is my family has some military experience, but certainly not me. This idea of taking credit for something that happened in the field of conflict, boosting up your CV. Maybe some people do that, but when you're going to lead the defense forces, that's not something that inspires confidence in the troops. There's a second thing, and we're worried about a second piece that the minister said, and this is to the ethics commissioner. Because he has claimed, and I don't think this is disputed, actually, that he was a key part of the intelligence gathering in the mission. Well, part of that mission fell under some controversy because there was a potentially illegal transfer of detainees to the Afghan authorities. These are the same ones that Mr. Sajjan is given credit for having great contact with, and he was the one interfacing between them. But he told the ethics commissioner he had no knowledge of any detainees going to those exact same Afghan authorities. And that's why the ethics commissioner dropped the case. So this all harkens back to his credibility, Don, which is an important thing in politics. And if one thing that was caught as a lie then turns into another thing that doesn't support another statement, one starts to really wonder about the defense minister's credibility, which the defense minister needs to have credibility, not just for the troops, but also for Canadians broadly.
Now, Karen, you're a very forgiving, nice person. Are you willing to forgive and forget, or do you still want this guy to walk the plank?
Well, I think we have seen that he did this back in 2015. He's done it again now. As Nathan said, it's stolen valor. Today, we had two of our members of parliament who are veterans. So we had Pierre-Paul Housse and Luba Clark, who both questioned the minister. So I think when you're hearing it from our own people in our caucus that are veterans, as well as the media that has had several people coming out from the Canadian Forces saying, like, he shouldn't have done this. The stolen valor is a big part. And the thing is, when it comes to the military family, that's exactly what they are. They have one another's backs. Nobody is better than anybody else. They all work together. And that's what makes us such a strong military and such a great country. And that is something that the minister should not have done. So I believe that the sorry is one thing, but his actions are definitely not what we're seeing in the House of Commons are satisfying.
Marco, you know, speaking of his actions, I got to say, there's a fundraiser tonight, a major fundraiser for injured veterans and combat victims. And it's a blue chip event, and I'm going to it after this show. But your guy, Sajjan, the Minister Sajjan, was a keynote speaker there, and he suddenly bowed out earlier today. Didn't he miss a chance to at least address veterans by showing up at that fundraiser instead of skulking away like he with a guilty look on his face?
Well, he has addressed the concerns that have been expressed about some remarks, and he's admitted that they were a mistake. He's apologized sincerely on numerous occasions, both outside of the House and during the course of question period. And my colleague Nathan mentioned the word valor. Even the opposition doesn't question the valor that Minister Sajjan showed during his many tours of duty. So what I can tell you is that the minister remains very focused on his mandate, which includes important initiatives regarding NATO and peacekeeping and procurement for the men and women in uniform that he served with. And I know that he honors their courage, which they show day in and day out.
All right, I want to switch gears because there's some weird stuff going on in the House of Commons and in the surrounding committees. Today, Tom Mulcair was up. He called Bardish Chagger, the House leader, a buffoon, and he said,